I decided I would use my new super kung fu powers to fight crime, so I became the best cop in the world. I became Kung Fury.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Nerd Spastics.
Welcome back.
For the week of June 1st. As always, we're here to discuss this week's news and gaming, film, television, everything in between. I'm Sean.
And I'm Tristan.
And walking back is Joey.
Hey, everyone. I'm happy to be back.
Welcome back, Joey.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And as you hear, we're listening to some David Hasselhoff True Survivor from the short film Kung Fury.
I still can't believe they got David Hasselhoff to do a song and a music video for this.
You watched it, right?
Yeah, you showed me the music video. It was just absolutely absurd. David Hasselhoff at his 80s finest.
And we will definitely get to that later, and it's all its glory. Anything happen? Good guys having a good week so far?
So far, it's good.
Yeah,
so
far. Free pizza today. That wasn't
free
bad.
Pizza, yeah.
Like so, free food.
So Weird Al Yankovic yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, some nerdy stuff there in my normal routine week. So let's start right off with some toasty video game news, guys. All right, and obviously for Toasty Video Game News, we're going to start off right with the big news of the week, which was the Fallout 4 trailer release. I think this is something that people have been waiting for a long time.
It's weird they released the trailer early because E3 is coming up in just a couple weeks and Bethesda's doing their very first E3 press conference. So it's very odd that they're releasing this early. Also, the way they released it, too.
Yeah, it was like we got the template with the countdown clock for only 24 hours. It wasn't any more than 24 hours. And then we got that. And then we got an awesome trailer, which is like a three-minute trailer.
Yeah, the three-minute trailer looks really good. Pretty much all cinematic. Didn't really show any gameplay at all. But it looks really good. Set in Boston, so obviously a little bit of bias towards that.
Yeah, we all know the locations. We were sitting there looking at our computers trying to find exact locations.
Trying to figure out, oh, wait, is that the Old North Church?
Yes, or is that Fenway? All right, that's Fenway and Old North Church. All right,
yeah,
cool.
There was immediately a Reddit page that popped up for the trailer. And
oh, really?
Just had a bunch of screenshots of different locations. Like, oh, this is this and this. Yeah. So, you know, a bunch of stuff with Fenway Park and the Constitution and whatnot.
Nice. Yeah, the Constitution was kind of cool. Seeing it with the retro, like,
and
jet
flying
engines.
And
but it looks pretty good of what I've seen so far. Obviously, I think we're going to get some gameplay at E3. They're probably going to show us some gameplay. It was announced, so. And then we're going to get this for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So, all in all, it was a good like trailer to release it with, and a good amount of content right seen at the beginning.
Yeah, I'm hoping too is at E3 we'll get a release date, and it won't be 2 years from now. Hopefully this fall or something like that.
That's my guess. I get that kind of feeling that they're going to be like a fall release.
Yeah, because they don't seem to be like the type of ones who announce a teaser like 2 years in advance. Like, oh yeah, you'll get this in 2-3 years maybe.
Yeah. So I have a question, just out of curiosity, since I didn't play out the Fallout series, do they usually feature a German Shepherd, or is that kind of a new addition?
No, the dog thing is new, so okay. I'm curious, because I haven't played New Vegas, but I played Fallout 3 and a little bit of 2, which was back in 97, I believe, Fallout 2 came out, and it almost seems like they're going to have that as a companion thing, because I knew they did that in one of the Fables where you could like have his dog as a companion, could either like help you carry stuff or fight for you or whatnot. So if they do something like that, that'd be kind
of
neat.
The new Call of Duty, too, when they released that trailer with the German Shepherd.
Everyone
was like all over that, all the memes and GIFs. Yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder if it'll actually play a role in the gameplay, because the dog was actually featured pretty heavily in the cinematic.
Yeah.
It's a dog year, guys, all these games. So that is obviously the huge news. And right away, I will say, that's the toasty news because of how much everybody's been waiting for. I know we talked about it before on the show, like
yeah, rumors
and
I've just been speculating because there's been a bunch of leaks leading up to this that there was going to be. So this is the actual official announcement that yes, Fallout 4 is coming sometime.
Sometime, but and, I mean they have pre-orders so already, but that usually doesn't mean a lot nowadays.
No, yeah,
yeah, but hopefully for them, if they're doing pre-orders for this, it'll be like a fall release.
Yeah,
but and then actually. Late last week, we got another trailer release. So it seems like a couple of companies at least are trying to get it ahead of all the noise at E3. So just kind of like have a little bit of the limelight to themselves before we get the title rush of news from all the publishers. But XCOM 2 was announced and a trailer was released for that. I don't know if either of you guys have played XCOM at all.
So I've played a bit. Yeah, one of my friends is really into it. Another fan of strategy games. I also love strategy games. But this is just a game I never played too much of. And I borrowed it from him and I got sucked in right away. Didn't get to finish it because, you know, he was like leaving and he wanted the game back. But definitely a fun turn-based strategy.
Yeah, and what I'm a big fan of XCOM is like that there are not a lot of turn-based strategy games out there. I'm a big fan of turn-based games, and those really are a dying breed.
Yeah.
But this one, which is, it's coming out this November, so a nice kind of short little lead up to it. We're not going to see this in a year or two. And the strange thing with this one is it's going to be PC exclusive.
Oh.
And the previous games came out on PS, or the pre, well, there's been multiple iterations, but the most recent one came out on PS3 and Xbox 360 in addition to PC. I guess they were saying it's part of the reason why they're doing PC only is they want to be able to have strategically generated maps. So instead of like, you know, a lot of games they'll have randomly generated dungeons and whatnot, so it's completely different. Mm. They want to have something kind of like that, but they want to have it strategically generated because a whole big part of that game from when you probably remember from playing is it's all a lot of cover base and whatnot. Yeah.
Like, do I want my sniper here? Yeah. Like, okay, do I need to hide behind this crate now or should I wait till later?
Yeah, so like if you did completely random, like there wouldn't be any sense to like where the cover is and whatnot. So I guess with this, like there, you can still have some randomly generated maps or at least partially randomly generated, but still have the cover layout make sense. So a mission isn't impossible because the map was just a weird layout for that turn.
Now, one thing I'm wondering, so with the XCOM that I played, at least, there was permadeath. And is that true for the whole series? Like once your character dies, that's it.
Ooh, that I am not sure. Yeah, I wonder if that's something that would carry over to this or if that would be like a certain difficulty mode. Because at least in Diablo 3, they have the option you can make a hardcore character which has permadeath or you can make a regular character which, you know, can die as many times as you want.
Yeah.
That might be something we find out at E3, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. Because my friend who actually let me borrow it, what he would do is he made the mistake of naming his characters, like, on his team, friends. And so when they died, he'd be like, no, Tristan, or no, Sean. And, like, you can actually visit their graves, I think.
Oh,
or,
really?
Like,
oh,
or, like, some fantastic sort of memorial thing. Yeah.
Like fallen heroes and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and kind of the most recent one, the whole thing was you're trying to fight off an alien invasion to the Earth. But in this is like set in the future, basically. The Earth was completely invaded and steamrolled, and now you're almost doing like a guerrilla type of a thing where you're trying to fight back and take control back. So it looks pretty sweet. I'm looking forward to this. I never finished the first XCOM, or the most recent one, XCOM Enemy Within, I want to say.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. So, but this looks good.
Yes. So we also have, it's been a while actually, but we have some Blizzard news. I know we used to start like every podcast with Blizzard news. Now it's just, you know, it's coming shorter and shorter because after PAX East it's over and we have all the big announcements. But Heroes of the Storm actually just launched on Tuesday officially. But that means doesn't mean everybody wasn't already playing it with open beta and betas that were given out like candy. But
yeah, but now at least if you do haven't tried out Heroes of the Storm and want to check it out, you don't have to sign up for Blizzard's beta program. Just it's a free to play game. So Blizzard's second entry into the free to play world after Hearthstone, which has been very successful for them. Actually been playing a bunch of Heroes of the Storm lately, and I'm really enjoying it, and I think that's going to be a really successful model for them.
What do you think like the differences between that and other games like it right now?
So I haven't played League of Legends. I have played a lot of Dota, though. I like this a lot more than Dota. Have either of you played any MOBAs?
No, not too really, many. Yeah. I played a bit of Smite with a couple of friends because I wanted to just try it out. and I have lots of friends who play League of Legends and who play Dota. Especially Dota. More of my friends play Dota, I think.
Yeah, I know a bunch of people play Dota. I didn't get big into that. The big differences between Dota and this are a couple key things. Instead of each person on a team leveling up individually, everyone levels up together, which is really nice. So you're not worried about like, oh, I don't have as many kills, so I don't have as much level, so I don't have as many abilities. And also,
so it's almost like a community.
Yeah, so it's very much team based. You are working together as a team. And secondly, in Dota, to get gear upgrades, basically you have these little minions that have to be killed, and if you get the last hit, you get gold for that minion. And this, there's no gold or anything, just as you level up, as you hit, you know, level 4 and then 6, 8, and so on, you get new perks. And then as you level up heroes, you know, say at level 4, there's a total of 4 abilities you can pick from. You'll only be able to get 2 until you level up that hero to a certain ability. So I'm a big fan of the style of gameplay.
It's definitely interesting. It's something I will play, being it's free-to-play anyway. Especially, I mean, obviously when you get too in-depth with these free-to-play games, quotation marks there, that, you know, they don't become free-to-play anymore just based on all the in-game purchases you kind of have to make to be able to stand with on your own.
Well, at least with this one,
Hearthstone, like, especially, is a great example of that.
Yeah, with this one, like, you can play it completely free, but the way they're doing it basically is when you first start the game, you have one permanent hero that you are able to play. And then each week there's a rotation of heroes that are free to play. Mm-hmm. And so if you just want to play it for free, you can do that. You're just going to be limited to whatever that weekly cycle of heroes is. So if you get a hero you really want that's on that cycle, the next week it'll be on someone else. You'd have to pay for that character. But so theoretically, you can play it completely for free. And you can also buy heroes with gold. So same thing, but again, like Hearthstone, it can take a while to save up gold in order to purchase these things. But so you do have that option at least.
And I mean, maybe it'll be better for Heroes of Storm. I know with Hearthstone it's a little hard because, you know, once you save up your gold, then you're all of a sudden, you get the cards you want, but everybody's moved on to different cards and different play styles, and you're sitting there a generation back still losing a little bit because people have caught on.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to really have that issue with this, is because they're going to constantly be adding new heroes, but they're making it balanced so that different heroes have different roles, and they're not going to be worse at their role because there's a new strategy that has come into play with new heroes.
Well, it seems like they are pushing it. They just started a cross-promotion with World of Warcraft, and basically if you get to level 20 in Heroes of the Storm, you get a pet in World of Warcraft, and if you get to level 100 in World of Warcraft, you get a new mount for Heroes of the Storm.
Huh.
So it seems like they're definitely trying to promote it and cross it, so, like, you know, you're playing more Blizzard games. Anybody's playing World of Warcraft who would want to play Heroes of the Storm, and if you, you know, vice versa, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's in their best interest to keep you as sucked into their universe as possible, and I mean, that's kind of the fun thing, too, about Heroes of the Storm. It has characters from all their major franchises. So you have World of Warcraft, you have StarCraft, you have Diablo, so it's a lot of fun. And they even have like some of their older titles, like The Lost Vikings, which I think was their very first gamer in
Heroes
there.
Of the Storm, the Avengers of Blizzard.
Basically, yeah, it's fun. I'm enjoying it. It's like, and you can, like, you know, I've spent $5 on the game to get like a 3-hero starter pack, so you can get by doing it cheap, but there's some of the heroes are $10 a pop, so you can easily spend a lot of money on that game.
Yeah, for sure.
So on to some sporting games. We usually don't talk about sports a lot on this podcast, but when it comes to sport games, we shall. FIFA 16 is adding women's soccer teams.
Which, it's kind of sad almost that this is news. That
I was
going to
say,
I
didn't know they didn't have them already.
Yeah.
I thought they were already in the game. Not that I play, I mean, obviously I'm letting it know that I don't play FIFA really that much, but.
Yeah, it's like I'm not a big soccer fan, but obviously soccer and FIFA is huge all over the world. This is a huge game for EA, and they're finally adding women's teams to the general roster of teams within the game. So they're going to have a dozen different national teams from all across the world, a bunch from Europe, South America, the U.S. as well. And they'll only be playable against each other, and it's kind of fitting timing for this since the Women's World Cup kicks off this weekend.
Yeah, okay, so awesome. They're definitely adding this into the right time slot and knowing when they're releasing this.
Yeah, but I wonder if we'll start to see this with their other games as well. Like, you know, will the EA's NBA game also include the WNBA teams? Yeah. I mean, there's no reason why they can't.
They should. Yeah, they should. Why not?
So it's nice to see that it's happening, but it's also kind of sad that it is news that it just didn't happen.
This long.
Yeah, that it took till FIFA 16 for them to add female teams to FIFA.
As we know, with the current news about FIFA, they're not necessarily the...
Yeah, so I guess, I don't know if this is a plus or a minus that this comes out now after, you know, most of their board was arrested for taking bribes on locations.
Add women to the soccer game. We'll be good. We'll be good, guys. Come on.
Yeah. So it's something that obviously has been in works for a while because the EA team was saying basically flew all around the world to do motion capture to get facial likenesses for a bunch of players. So they put quite a bit into this in order to add all these people. But yeah, it's not been a good week for FIFA, and they're going to be a mess for a while.
Definitely. On to some news for PlayStation 4, at least. Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection, has confirmed a release date for October 9th. So they'll release all three previously Uncharted games on October 9th. And this is preparation for Uncharted 4, which we definitely probably will... Actually, it seems like we will see at E3 this year.
Well, they showed that at E3 last year as
somewhat.
Well.
Somewhat. I think we're going to see a little more.
Yeah, and hopefully get an actual release date and everything. But we kind of told you about this maybe a month ago that the release date was pushed till next year. It was originally supposed to be this fall.
Yeah, so this is definitely like add up to that. You know, it's only going to be single player campaigns on the titles for the DLC or for the downloads, though. You can't do multiplayer, I guess. Which, I mean, when it comes to, I think we've talked about this before when we talked about Last of Us, but when it comes to multiplayer on Naughty Dog games, it's kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of something they throw in, but it's not something you buy. I played a little bit of the multiplayer, for Uncharted 3, but it's just kind of like, it's all right. It's nothing really standout. So I don't think that's any sort of a loss.
When you play a Naughty Dog game, you're playing for the story. You're not playing for, you know, multiplayer, stuff like that. So I guess it's also been confirmed that anybody who buys it is going to get access to the Uncharted 4 multiplayer beta later this year. So you can do the multiplayer beta for Uncharted 4.
But we just talked about how no one cares about the multiplayer.
I know.
Yeah,
the point, Tristan.
I mean, they're very much taking a page from Microsoft's book, where if you bought the Halo Master Chief Collection, you got into the multiplayer beta for Halo
but
5.
At the same time, I can see multiplayer for Halo a little more than
Exactly. So it's like, so that's definitely a drawing point for
Halo.
That's a big part of Halo, but it's like, okay, I get a multiplayer beta for a game where multiplayer isn't really a big part of the game at all.
It's an afterthought.
Yeah.
It really is.
They're going to make that more of a focus with the new one.
Yeah. The game was remastered by Bluepoint Games. You can expect new achievements along with 1080p graphics at 60 frames per second. Better lighting, textures, and models. Gameplay improvements are also on the way, but an announcement will probably come at E3, it seems like, for that most of that stuff.
We've seen with some other remasters, sometimes they're completely broken when they first launch.
That's true. But
a different company doing it, they're farming it out to someone else who's not as familiar with it. So,
well, this is you have to realize this is also the same company. They already farmed this out to Last of Us. So, I mean, and that came out really well. It's done really well. There's been no issues. So, I mean, when it comes to Naughty Dog, I think usually they have a good chance of where they're giving it to. I mean, I've never heard any complaints so far about The Last of Us Remastered, so.
Yeah, so hopefully this won't have any, but yeah, there was also a story about recently, it was a remastered version of like one of the Super Street Fighters coming to PS4, and it just arrived completely broken. So it's just kind of like, it's just been a lot of remaster stories this year. It's like, I want more new original games. I don't want to replay old games I've already played. But it's been a lot of the stories this year.
It seems like most of the remasters are coming out now just because of the newer systems. They're trying to just get some stuff you'd like to play because the systems are not backwards compatible, and maybe it's a hint telling us they're not going to be.
Although you can probably play some of these with Sony, the PlayStation Now service, their game streaming service. So I bet some of those are probably on there. So they're kind of going with that approach to get by the lack of backwards compatibility.
PC gaming, man, all the way.
Speaking of PC gaming, speaking of PC gamer, we're on to the Steam Machine release date. So,
finally,
after
being delayed for about a year or more.
Yeah, so finally, it seems like it's going to come out on October 16th of this year, and it'll be on store shelves up by November 10th. At launch, they're expected to have between 1,000 and 1,200 games that'll be supported for it, according to Dell and Valve officials. So, it seems like the Steam Machine itself will start at about $450, and the controller will be about $50, and then the Steam Link will also be about 50. So, which will connect your Steam Link will also connect your TV to your PC, so it won't be like, you know, a straight out, you're not buying the actual system, you're just buying a link from your PC to the TV itself.
Yeah, basically just enables you to do in-home streaming, because Steam already has in-home streaming, but basically you need two PCs set up to use it. I've used it before. It actually works pretty well, but I'm excited for the Steam Link. I'm going to definitely buy that, because the idea of just having a little set-top box, just tune into that, and it'll stream all my PC games straight to that at high quality, I'm all for that.
So overall, I think I'm kind of looking forward to Steam Machine. I don't know exactly if it's something I'd partake in general. I do have a lot of Steam games. I do like playing them, but I mean, obviously it's something you want to get if you're just flat out gaming. That's it, like that kind of thing. Obviously, it's not going to have any support for any of your other systems, like, you know, Xbox One, PS4, like TV compatibility, stuff like that. But if you're definitely into like straight on gaming, I think this is probably the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the type of person who doesn't want to venture into building your own gaming PC or something like that, or you've got a little bit more of a budget, definitely that. The thing I'm most excited about, because I do have a gaming PC, is the Steam controller, because that looks really interesting, really fascinating.
Is that with the two touchpads? Is that what that one is?
Yeah, so that has two touchpads, and it also has like an ABXY, but it has two touchpads instead of the two joysticks, as we've seen on like basically every modern iteration of a controller out there. And they're saying the big benefit with this is basically they can simulate a mouse and keyboard. Even on older games that don't have controller support, you'll be able to use this controller.
Oh, that's super handy.
Yeah, because they did a demo that looked awesome of System Shock 2. You know, old, great, fantastic game, but only mouse and keyboard compatible, and it plays fine with the controller because it basically emulates a mouse and a keyboard.
So do we know what the specs are for the machine yet? Have they released those or no?
They have released basically the low-end ones, the cheapest ones. They come with like an Intel Core i3, 4 or 8 gigs of RAM, like a 500 gig hard drive. So basically a low to mid-end PC is what it is.
Okay, so that fits for about like a $400 to $500 price.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then it's running Steam OS, which is their Linux-based operating system.
Okay.
And actually, also, if you get the Steam Link, that will also work with a 360 controller just fine. So you don't need the Steam controller to use a Steam Link. And also, that'll do mouse and keyboard as well.
That's interesting. I would think if they wanted, they were doing Steam Link, they would actually make it so you have to use their controller. That's something new and a little actually refreshing.
Yeah, well, a big part of their thing, because they have kind of the big picture mode right now, is, and if you are using a 360 controller with a PC, most PC games work automatically with that. You don't have to configure anything at all, and they reprogram. If you're in Steam, they reprogram the Xbox button, so if you hold it down, it automatically launches big picture mode.
Nice.
So they've been working with the 360 controller for a while, because Microsoft basically built the support into Windows for that.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that they're keeping that for the Steam Link. So it's, all right, so I can buy a Steam Link and use the 360 controller I have instead of having to buy a controller as well.
Yeah, I know when I use Steam, I definitely use my 360 controller, and I have that all set
up for
that.
It just works great. It's seamless.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So I'm excited for this.
Right. On to Microsoft information, speaking of them. Windows 10 is going to be released on July 29th, bringing home in-game streaming to Xbox One consoles.
Yeah, so
that's a little intriguing.
Yeah, so they kind of teased this when they first announced Windows 10, but now we'll get to try it out very shortly. Hopefully it won't be buggy. But
it always is when it first comes out. We all know that.
But basically, Windows 10 is going to have an Xbox app built into it. And what it is you'll be able to stream games from your Xbox to anything running Windows 10. So if you have a full-end gaming PC, or if you just have a little junk computer with low-end specs, the Xbox is going to do all the heavy lifting. It's just going to stream all the video to your laptop or whatever. So exactly the same thing that the Steam Link is doing, except in the other direction, from a console to your computer.
Which is interesting. At the same time, I don't know how useful it'll be. I mean, I
think it's useful. Like, I'm looking forward to this. So say like if my roommates are watching something that I don't want to watch and I want to play something, but it's on my Xbox, like, all right, I can just grab the controller, plug it into my PC, and stream it straight to there.
That's true. I mean, it does help with those kind of situations.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be really useful for kind of households with big families or with lots of roommates, it gives you an option to play games even if your main TV isn't in use or is in use by someone else.
Yeah. Apparently, the initial cost is going to be $120 for the Windows 10 Home and $200 for Pro. Obviously, you'll get it for free, though, if you have Windows 7 or 8 already and just upgrade within the first year.
Which is huge. They've never done a free upgrade.
No, they haven't. And, like, I'm glad they're taking Apple's, like, whole thing with how they gave Yosemite for free. And it's like, look, Microsoft, you can afford to give us Windows 10 for free, especially after you gave us Windows 8.
Well, that's a weird thing, though, for Windows, because basically because Apple is a hardware company who also does software, but Microsoft is strictly software. You know, it's like that's what they make their money on is selling the software, selling Windows, selling Word and whatnot, while Apple can afford to give it away because their margins are so big on things like MacBooks and things like that.
That's true, yeah.
Yes, but I think they kind of want, you know, because most people are still, I'm still running Windows 7, so this is a way to get everyone to upgrade and have everyone on the same page.
That's another good, that's a great point, yeah, especially with people, why are people still on XP? Like,
There are people on XP.
There are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Windows users are kind of notorious for not upgrading, so that's why they're like, all right, you know what, you can have it for free, we're going to get everyone updated, and then they're focusing a lot more on their cloud services and trying to make money from those, like Office 360 and things like that.
Yeah, and as someone who used the Windows 10 technical preview, I've really enjoyed it, honestly. I think I'm excited for Windows 10, and I think it's what people wanted with the whole blend of like your traditional Windows 7 kind of desktop with what they're trying to do with Windows 8, and I like it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a nice in-between, and it's kind of interesting what they're doing because everyone was speculating Apple would do this for a long time. Is that they're doing one operating system everywhere, which I think is really smart, and then they're going to have universal apps, which will work across everything. And so their phone operating system and their desktop operating system is going to be the same. And actually, and then later this year, I believe it's in the fall, they're going to be upgrading the Xbox to also be running on Windows 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
a big, big news, too, for that. It definitely goes side-side, especially when they're talking about streaming from game console to Xbox, so...
Yeah, so I wonder if that will open up the Xbox to more peripherals that are, you know, kind of designed for the PC, you know, wireless headsets and things like that. If basically if you just be able to plug that into your Xbox once it's updated to Windows 10, it can just install the drivers and work that way.
That would honestly be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it's almost like turning it almost into more of a Steam machine where it's more of a full-out PC as opposed to just a gaming rig.
Which I think would be smart on Microsoft's part, honestly.
Yeah.
No, so. It really would.
We'll have to wait and see, but universal apps, they're saying, you know, people who program universal app, it'll work on phones, it'll work on desktops, tablets, and supposedly, hopefully, also the Xbox.
Nice. With that, we'll move on to some screen-to-screen news. All right, we have a lot of different genres here, from movies to TV to internet to... I think this is the biggest variety of different screen-to-screen news we've had in a long time.
Yeah, so some interesting stuff on the video side. Google had their I.O. conference last week, which is their developer conference, and they announced Google Jump, which if you hadn't heard that, basically this is Google getting big into VR video.
Yeah, it seems like a big venture for them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean... so basically it's kind of made up of a bunch of different components. The first is... they partnered with GoPro in designing a jump camera rig, which is made up of 16 GoPro cameras, basically all in this little carousel and with a microphone in the middle. And they said they're going to release the plans publicly. So basically, if you want, you could even build your own. And basically, and then this is going to link up with their jump assembler, which they've set aside a bunch of processing power to take those 16 different GoPro video streams and... assemble them into one stereoscope VR video. So basically, they're going to take those 360 degree from the 16 different streams and stitch them into one video.
In overall, it definitely seems like a big thing. I'm wondering how many people are actually going to be using it as when it's first released. It probably might take a little bit to catch on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've talked about it before because there's all the talk of Oculus and then also the Valve VR, so there's a lot of virtual reality stuff they've been talking about, but the whole issue is, what is there going to be for content? So Google is jumping in there and saying, we're going to provide you with a way to film and assemble this into content you can consume. And they're going to be updating YouTube, so that will be able to work with these jump videos. And Google also has their cardboard, which basically it's a piece of cardboard to make a headset to put your phone into. And you can put your phone in that and then watch these videos on YouTube in full VR.
Yeah, that's definitely a little weird. Like, the fact they're selling a piece of cardboard to do that is a little out there. I want that cardboard, $100, thank you. Like, it's just, you know.
Well, it's very much a stab at Samsung because they have their Gear VR headset, which is like a $200 headset that you plug one of their Galaxy phones into. And Google's like, yeah, here, you can buy this cardboard. They charge $15 for it, and you can do the same thing. So that was them being like, yeah, this is a big, expensive $200 thing. But give us $15. You can do the exact same thing. And they just updated their app to be able to work with iPhone as well.
Yeah. Overall, I mean, I don't know if I'll try it or I'll really be into it. I mean, at this point, I don't even know if I'm going to go Oculus. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with it when it comes later on in the future. But for now, it seems like another one of these just jumping on the VR bandwagon here.
Yeah, but it's kind of giving people the ability to create VR content for cheap.
It is true, yeah.
You figure, okay, you have to buy 16 GoPros, so that's probably going to be like $6,000 or $7,000. But in terms of like video production, that's the cost of like one single decent camera. So if you're big into doing video production, it's like, all right, you can spend $6,000 and then start exploring and making this VR content and be one of the first ones there once that starts to build up.
And, you know, as someone who spends a lot of time on YouTube, I would be more than happy to watch some of this stuff, yeah?
Yeah, like, I'd be curious to check it out just to experience it. It's kind of, and that's kind of an easy platform to be able to put that content out there. And then also for creators, like, okay, Google provides all the heavy lifting, you provide the shooting, and then just put it to them and they'll stitch it all together.
Okay, on to Showtime, who is joining bandwagons, speaking of that. They are following HBO and launching their own standalone streaming service. And following HBO even more, but it's only going to be available on Apple devices starting July 12th for the first month. So that's
very odd that they're also going. And actually, this ties into also, forgot to mention, at Google I.O., they also announced HBO Now is coming to Android TV.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, so the exclusivity period for HBO Now has run out or is running out on Apple, but now, just as that's running out, they're now going to have an exclusive period, probably for, I guess, a similar 3 months to what HBO had with Showtime.
However, so, without Game of Thrones on there to actually, you know, be watched, it's not going to probably be as successful as Apple was for HBO Now, I think.
No, like HBO Now, it's a little pricey, but it's tempting to buy just because of how much great content they have. Yeah. I have no interest in paying $11 a month for just Showtime.
Yeah, that's the thing that's really weird about Showtime is they're trying to copy this. Yes, they're going at $10.99 a month, which is undercutting HBO's price. But at the same time, they don't have the content. Like, I mean, at one point they had shows, but they're all spread out at this point, where the only thing they have right now is Penny Dreadful, and that's not doing as hot as some other shows right now.
Especially with, like, what, now TV companies are going to Netflix instead of Netflix, you know, trying to pull more content in, right?
Yeah, or they're like, doing partnerships with
they're
Netflix.
They're doing partnerships,
yeah. Like
yeah.
We talked about last week with Between and a couple other shows mm-hmm. that Netflix are now doing. Like, they're definitely, like, people are going to them instead at this point. And for Showtime to launch this standalone service with not so much content of their own at this point seems a little foolhardy.
Yeah, so basically it'll include access to the back catalog of all their shows, their current selection of movies, and live streams of the network. So basically the exact same thing that HBO offers, but without as extensive as a catalog, I would say. I mean, if you're a huge Showtime fan and you want to cut the cord, this gives you an option. And the more options, standalone options, the better. But what would make this more intriguing is, okay, CBS owns Showtime, and CBS also has its own standalone app that's like $6 or $7 a month or something
like
that.
It's like $7 a month, yeah.
So like if they did a combination for $11 if you got Showtime and CBS, that would be tempting. But for $11 a month for just Showtime, I have no interest in that.
Yeah. If this was something like Stars, as I think I mentioned before, like at some point, Stars or like, you know, Stars with Encore, Stars has Black Sails. They have all these other great shows. Stars would be a network where maybe it would be thought about like to do this because they actually have some good content.
And they might be the next ones to do this.
It's true. But with Showtime, it's a little more reluctant to think like why they would be doing this without as much content. I mean, I know they are getting ready to do their remake of Twin Peaks. So, I mean, that is something on their docket that's going to come soon. But, I mean, overall, still right now, it's just penny dreadful. You're a dreadful decision.
Terrible. Yeah, that's one I've been wanting to check out, but not for $11 a month for one show. And it's like, I have so much stuff on my Netflix queue. It's like, I don't really need another monthly payment. And also, like, as we get more and more stuff that's standalone, it's not going to take too long till you buy three or four different services that you're paying as much as you would for cable.
No, it's really true. Once they start adding them all up and stuff, yeah, they don't seem like a lot on their own right now. When you're like, oh, maybe this one and this one, and you start getting to the point where you're paying basically more probably for it than you would for cable.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have Sling TV out there, which gives you ESPN and a bunch of stations. Then if you're going to add this and HBO Now, you're talking, you know, close to $50 a month already right there.
Plus your internet access to get all to this.
Yeah, plus the internet, and then plus if you're going to do Netflix and Hulu. And so it's already kind of starting to add up. Basically, you'd be paying the same amount for cable. So it comes down to, is this a better experience than cable?
Yeah, it all depends, I guess, on what you're getting it for and what shows. And looking at this, I don't see as many signing up for Showtime as definitely would like HBO or Stars or something like that.
No, and I suspect you'll definitely see the numbers for HBO Now drop once Game of Thrones ends.
Yeah, no, they will drop, definitely. I think that HBO Now is going to be like we'll sign up for like, you know, the 2-3 months that Game of Thrones is on and then we'll not sign up anymore.
Yeah, so that's going to be a thing. I know HBO had sent out surveys to people who signed up for the free month asking them, you know, it's like, oh, would you be more interested in a service like if it was, you know, $100 for 1 year or $60 for 6 months, or, you know, kind of probing cheaper pricing, but also kind of locking people in, kind of like Amazon does when you sign up for a year of Prime, you get all the streaming.
Yeah. All right. So now we're going to go on to what we started with, which was Kung Fury.
I need some action.
Absolutely ridiculous in the best possible way.
It really is.
Truly, truly inspired 80s movie.
Yeah, it has that 80s feel and charm and cheesiness to it.
Yeah.
So Kung Fury was released on May 28th on YouTube, and it's by David Sandberg, and he's Kung Fury. He's also the creator. And overall, it's just a short film that it makes fun of 80s movies and is 80s awesome and epicness.
Yeah, what's neat though is the way it started as just a project he was working on. Then he put it up on Kickstarter to get money to finish it. Well exceeded its goal. And now it's kind of nice to see and surprising to see that he just put it out for free on YouTube.
Yeah, that was really surprising. I didn't think that was going to happen. When people told me, I heard it was out and it was on YouTube for free, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, wait, no, is this a trailer? And then I looked at the time mark and I was like, 30 minutes. I was like, oh, this is the whole thing.
Yeah, and in its first 4 days or so, it had over 10 million views, so it's doing quite well.
Oh, yeah, that's impressive. It's definitely up there. For anybody who hasn't seen it yet, go on YouTube. It's free. Watch it right now.
Yeah, it's about 30 minutes. It's completely worthwhile, and it's a lot of fun.
You definitely have to go in with the mindset of, like, it's an 80s inspired movie. Like, don't expect it to be, like, on modern levels of, like...
No, but in general, it is awesome. It is, like... It's probably. I read one reviewer saying like he thought it was like the best movie he'd seen this far this summer. So like
he clearly didn't see Mad Max.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like the absurdity in that reminds me of Mad Max, just set in the 80s.
When your main character says he was struck by lightning and bitten by a cobra to get unnatural kung fu powers, and he becomes a kung fu freak of nature, that is an epic movie on its own, people.
Yeah, it's just hilarious and fun to watch.
It really is. And the fact they got David Hasselhoff to do the music video, and he's like in the film for a short brief cameo as well, it's really cool.
Yeah, and really surprising too. But if you're going to have an homage to 80s movies, you got to have the Hoff.
And Triceracop.
Yeah, Triceracop.
I mean, you have to fight. He fights the ultimate villain, which is obviously Hitler, the Kung Fuhrer. So,
who's also a Kung Fu master.
Yes. Overall, guys, there's not much we can say about the movie besides it was awesome. Yeah. And it was done, you know, in this guy's garage, basically. He funded the money. He created it all on his computer. Like it,
yeah, it's a lot of green screen, but it's stylized in such a way that it looks really good and it works.
It really does. There's the whole, like, the tracking effects with, like, the VCR, like you're watching a VHS tape. It is very cool, very well done. Definitely something to check out by far. Speaking of things to check out, we also had a teaser trailer for The Good Dinosaur, which is a Pixar film, but it'll be the second Pixar film for the year.
And I don't believe Pixar has ever released two films in one year before.
No, I don't really think they have. So the synopsis of this one is, what if an asteroid didn't kill the dinosaurs? And they just kept going.
Yeah, basically, the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs, what if it missed Earth and dinosaurs are still around in modern day? And they don't really show a ton, but it looks really amusing and it's done in that Pixar animation style and will probably have the level of humor and polish that they typically have.
Yeah, it seems like it's set like in like caveman times and really like, you know, Neanderthal, you know, that kind of area of time. So it definitely seems intriguing. It's slated for November 25th release, so Thanksgiving. I mean, it seems good. Pixar, you know, usually when it doesn't come to sequels, Pixar is usually all right. So
Toy Story 3 was fantastic.
Yeah, besides Toy Story sequels, yeah.
Oh, I think I'm the only one in the camp where I still just love the first one. Like, the first one's the best for me.
No, I agree. It is.
Yeah, I like all the Toy Stories, though. Those are well done. But yeah, that's kind of the interesting thing, too, is that they're doing two original films in one year.
So yeah, it is. You'd think if they did it, they'd probably do like an original and a sequel or something like that along those lines.
I'm wondering what the gut-wrenching scene's going to be. Because, like, you know, with, like, Up and, like, Finding Nemo and all these movies, they just, like...
It's usually within the first 10 minutes,
too. First 10 minutes, they make you bawl your eyes out. And they're like, okay, we're going to make you happy for the rest of the movie.
We got that out of the way. All right.
Yeah, so I'm curious what they're going to do with this one.
The dinosaur's mother's going to die.
Yeah, it's always the mom.
It is always the mom. It's never the dad.
Nope.
It's always the mom.
Always. Every time.
Disney and killing mothers. Yeah. That's why Disney doesn't release movies on Mother's Day. All right, on to more Disney news, but Avengers Infinity War. They have some news about Doctor Strange and Thor Ragnarok and some Guardians of the Galaxy. So overall, Chris Pratt, I guess, did an interview and said that he's tied to doing three or more or five more Guardians of the Galaxies or whatever it is, his words.
That sounds like Chris Pratt.
Yep. He said, you know, two more Guardians plus another couple, which means that it seems like Star-Lord is committed to at least two or more sequels with other Marvel heroes.
So Infinity War.
Infinity War, which would be two. So that's my guess. It would be the two Infinity War ones. And I guess Drax the Destroyer is set to play a significant role in the upcoming Avengers movie for Avengers Infinity War, which is definitely an intriguing say to say that he is in a significant role in this film.
Yeah, but I don't know. He's also a significant role in Guardians. So, I mean, what does that mean? It's like also within its ensemble cast, which they're going to have for Infinity War, they're all going to play some sort of significant role in it.
Yeah, but I guess this was pointed out to be like it's going to be a little greater than the other characters at this point, which in the end he did say that Thanos was the one who killed his family in the end. I mean, you know.
That's true, but I mean, he seems like an odd, not really well-known character to be the one to play a huge significant role in it.
Yeah, he does, definitely.
So, but then again, they did have Hawkeye play a bit major role in the most recent Avengers film.
Yeah, Age of Ultron, that is true. He did kind of play a bigger role than he usually does. And then Doctor Strange news. I guess the director, Scott Dickerson, showed an image of Doctor Strange facing the character Death, which has given speculation since in the comics, Doctor Strange eventually defeated Death, who was actually courted by Thanos. So apparently it seems like maybe the upcoming movie will also be with Doctor Strange as well, with this whole Death and Thanos connection. Because Thanos obviously courted Death and, you know, all this other stuff, and that's why he does what he does, is because he wants to impress Death.
Yeah, and I mean, that would tie nicely in with what they're going building up to eventually with Infinity War and Thanos being the main villain of those movies and kind of capping off this whole Marvel movement Disney has been doing.
Yeah, no, it definitely seems intriguing that they would add that in. And I guess the big thing is that Thor Ragnarok is going to be the most influential movie prior to the events of Civil War, apparently. I mean, sorry, not Civil War, Infinity War. And apparently Thor Ragnarok is a very important movie in Phase 3, said Kevin Ferga, the Marvel's president. And we plan on taking Thor to another level. It picks up right where Thor in Avengers Age of Ultron left off and impacts everything that comes after it.
Which, that would be exciting because right now the Thor movies, they're kind of standalone. They really haven't had a huge impact on the greater Marvel universe. It's like, you know, yeah, the Tesseract came from Thor and whatnot. But overall, like, the events of that world have been kind of been in their own little silo.
No, they really have. I am intrigued. Obviously, you know, Ragnarok in the Thor universe is like destruction of Earth, you know, or the destruction in general of, like, you know, everything. So, and it seems like they were kind of hinting at that in Age of Ultron when he went into the cave there, when he was talking to, like, people in Asgard.
Yeah, that whole scene was kind of out of place and felt odd.
It was, and you know what's funny? Joss Whedon didn't want it at all. And then Disney was like, no, you have to put it in or we're not giving you the farmhouse scene with Hawkeye.
And originally Loki actually played a part in that scene, but then they cut that out.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have that in the deleted scenes, I guess.
Yeah, or the extended edition.
Yeah. And I guess that is something that, you know, I guess what Joss said was that it just seemed like there was too many people coming back and just being there. And he's like, at some point you have to take away because it's just too many.
Yeah, so I wonder if that scene now will replay itself in Ragnarok since they already had it, if that was like some future event or something like that he was seeing, or how they'll use that to tie that in with the future Ragnarok movie.
It is true. They really could do that. Overall, I see it's obviously going to play a big part because we also got no indication because Loki still disguised as Odin, so like last time we saw Thor too. So
yeah, so I wonder if they're gonna continue on with that storyline, and then where is Odin then? And yeah, they're gonna have a lot they have to kind of iron out with Ragnarok.
Yeah, definitely. So Avengers Infinity War Part 1 is May 4th, 2018, and Part 2 will be May 3rd, 2019.
So we'll find out in 3 years.
Pretty much. We get a while to wait. So we have a new Vacation trailer. So obviously we talked about the Vacation movie trailer, I think, a few weeks ago, right? It was like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
We talked about that. We got a new trailer. It's not a Red Band trailer. I'm going to be honest. This one brought my hopes up a little bit.
It was funnier.
Yeah, it was funnier.
Yeah.
It looks better. It still looks terrible, though.
Well, I'm definitely not going to pay to see it in theaters. But I will. I think I'm more interested in watching it now.
No, I definitely. I mean, I love the first Vacation films. I love all the, you know, National Lampoon's Vacation films. And I was hoping this would be good. The first trailer made me a little skeptical. This one made me a little more happy. It was, like, a little funnier. It was a little better. It seemed more like the Vacation films I know. You know, they have the car that's supposed to be, like, really shitty and, like, you know, is, you know, but top of the line to him, you know. And
I don't know why, but, like, this scene where it's the two brothers in the back seat, and, you know, you have that typical scene, the older of the brothers, like, looks out the window, and, like, there's this pretty girl, and, like, they, like, give each other the eyes. And when the younger brother just tells him to go to sleep. Like, he shoves the plastic bag on his head. He's like, go to sleep. Go to sleep. I was dying. I don't know why. I don't know what that says about me. It's a really dark thing. Yeah. But that was hilarious to me.
Well, when he started saying, go to sleep, immediately, my mind went to Robert Downey Jr. in Avengers, where he's just pounding Thor's Hulk's face, go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep. Like, that's what I immediately thought of. So I wonder.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was because he was looking at the girl or because his dad was singing Kiss by a Rose by Seal.
Maybe he was putting him out of his misery. Yeah. He was helping his brother out.
Yeah, over in the end. I'm intrigued. I definitely can't wait to see it. I don't know if I'll see it in theaters. If we get a free screening ticket like we did for Mad Max, maybe I'll do that. But
yeah, it's like it looks a little better, but I'm not looking forward to this at all still. It just kind of looks like they're doing the too easy, like, oh, it's funny because they're rubbing poop on their face. Like,
that scene was just gross.
Yeah, it's like, it just seems like it's going to be more of that kind of modern gross out, you know, lowbrow like humor.
Yeah, it really does.
And it's like, and Virgil Vacation definitely had some of that, but not to that degree. It was much more clever with the way they brought up their humor,
which is why I like this trailer more, because I feel like the first trailer was too much of that, and this one they did a lot more of the gags you'd expect from a vacation film. Mm-hmm. So overall, it does seem good. But so that's going to bring us to our big topic, which I know most of you probably saw, which was Game of Thrones this week. And wow, was it a Game of Thrones this week?
Finally
this week. Yes,
it was awesome.
I know we talked last week how we were impressed with last week's episode, but this one just wipes the floor with it. Overall, I mean, there's a lot to get to.
Yeah, where do we start?
Yeah. So we'll start where the show started, which is Daenerys was meeting with Tyrion and Jorah, and basically Tyrion advises her not to kill Jorah and have him like leave her service, but he can't be in her service. So, and intriguing as much, you see the pain in Jorah's face, like having to leave after like.
Yeah, my friends and I were joking that there's going to be a new phrase out there. It's not going to be your friend zone. It's going to be your Jorah'd.
Nice.
That's very true.
Well, Tyrion had a great line when she was debating whether or not to kill him. And he's like, he is probably your most devoted followers. Killing your most devoted followers does not inspire devotion.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's like, he can't be here.
Yeah.
Like, he can't be by your side when you take the Iron Throne.
Yeah, and the thing I really liked about Tyrion in that scene is like, oh no, I'm here to decide if you're worthy of me advising you. Like, this isn't your decision, this is my decision of whether I want to advise you or not.
Yeah.
Which was just really well played and really done by Tyrion. Just the whole conversation and the back and forth that they had in this in front of Jorah and then later privately was really well done, really well written.
Yeah, the private talk was very like in depth about how Tyrion feels about some things and who he trusts and how he does trust his brother. And like, you know, the last thing we heard from Jaime was that if he sees him again, he's gonna kill Tyrion. So like,
yeah. Well, he kind of did kill their father. So.
He did, yes, he did. But overall, obviously, this episode had so much to pack into, so. Jorah actually went and rejoined the fighting pits, which was a little cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was actually talking with one of my friends after we watched the episode, and we both were like, oh God, is Jorah going to commit suicide? Because, you know, he kind of like looks out at the city and like at the, like, and it's just like.
Yeah. And he also looks at like the stone spreading on his arm.
Yeah, and it's just like, what's he going to do, Jorah? What are you doing? Like, what are those thoughts going through your head? But yeah.
Yeah, and definitely it's the fact like he has the grayscale. He's going to die. He knows it. He's saying that, and he's like, I want to fight for her. That's all I want. He's just selling himself into slavery at this point.
Well, no, because he wants to fight in the pits so that way he can fight in the championship in front of her again. So like that's his whole goal is to get back in front of her and fight for her in his own way.
Yeah. So, and basically he doesn't care what happens. He doesn't care if he's sold for it. He doesn't care if he's a slave now. He's just going to do it because he feels like he has nothing else to live for.
Well, and also that's kind of the only way he's going to be able to get back in front of her too.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he knows that. So the other thing, which was, I think, in all, the least interesting of an exciting episode was Arya.
That was kind of weird what they're doing with her now.
Yeah, well, it's like everything else is kind of linking and combining together because it all evolves around the throne and vying for power for the throne, everything in Westeros, everything that going on with Daenerys. But then she's just kind of doing her own thing that isn't connected right now to anything else at all.
And the way the guy – I like the many-faced god.
Yeah,
guy.
That, what's whoever's his name? Playing him is really good.
What's his character's name again, though? I always forget.
I can't remember. But yeah. He's had a couple different names.
Yeah, that's true.
On the face.
Yeah, but like he, I really like him. But sometimes I get annoyed with how he does the third person now. Like,
yeah,
too
he does
much.
It a lot.
Yeah, like a man never. Like he always does that.
Does a girl know?
Yeah.
He does do that a lot. But overall, like her, like taking, like, you know, going through the streets, and her name's Lana. She's saying.
Yeah.
She's Lana. She's like an oyster seller and like stuff like that. Like her improv classes seem to be going well. I mean, you know, and obviously she's selling the clams to this guy who's, I guess, a gambler and like takes bets on people who are going to survive out at sea and stuff and takes their money if they live, and then if they die, he's supposed to pay the family, but probably doesn't.
Yeah. But so basically, she gets her first contract kill, is what it is.
Yeah, she's an assassin. That's yeah. She's
so she's getting her first assignment.
Yeah, and they obviously the girl who's always with her says she's not ready, but they'll say they'll see. So
yeah.
Over in Winterfell, we had a big revelation, which is Reek tells Sansa that her brothers are alive.
Which you were
always big.
Yeah, I was wondering when this was going to pop up. But it is kind of weird because we have yet to see her brothers this entire season.
Yeah, we really have. They're not here.
And then to bring up, oh, yeah, your brothers are alive. But we haven't seen them in a single episode.
I was kind of getting bored with Bran, though. I mean, me personally.
I was too. I'll agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the fact, what's bigger here is not only that he admitted that the brothers were alive, that he referred to himself as Theon.
He did acknowledge that he was Theon Greyjoy.
He said, I betrayed Rob. I killed those boys. Like, you know, he actually referred to himself as being Theon, and that's almost like a hint of him coming back. And it seems like Sansa is pulling that back.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely going to be a driving force in him kind of rebuilding what was broken and kind of repairing his psyche so he becomes Theon again instead of Reek.
Yeah, and I think it'll definitely help now that she knows he didn't murder her brothers, you know, mm-hmm. he didn't, you know, do that, so.
Well, one less thing to hate him for, but there's still plenty of others.
Well, overall, you have to remember she doesn't know about most of the stuff. She knew about murdering the brothers taking Winterfell.
I mean, she's probably heard quite a bit. I mean, you know, she probably knows about, I can't remember the knight that he killed that was, like, under the family for years.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's plenty to hate him for, and he did burn Winterfell to the ground. And
I mean, overall, I think this will help both. I think they'll probably be both helping each other sooner or later.
Yeah, and, well, it'll be, see what happens, you know, if there is a battle at Winterfell, if in that chaos he'll try to sneak her out, or what's going to happen.
Yeah, and obviously in that same situation scene, Ramsay wants to take 20 good men and attack Stannis Baratheon. He's just nuts.
Yeah,
he's like a psychopath, if we didn't already know. Yeah.
The guy, like I think we talked about this before, the actor who plays him does a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah, he's doing a really great job. But, in some situation, 20 men can be destructive, but he is also going up against an entire army. It's not like he's going up against like a war party. You know, Stannis has a full-blown army marching on Winterfell.
Yeah, but at the same time, we've already known that obviously Stannis has lost troops.
He has a dwindling army.
Yeah, but he still probably has thousands and thousands of troops. Oh, yeah, he does, yeah. So I don't know what that's... I don't know if they're just going to try to, you know, maybe try to make a play to kill Stannis.
It seems like it, yeah.
That's probably what his only play is, to do some serious
or kill
damage.
The Red Woman. I mean, either one of them.
I wonder what Melisandre's going to do now that Stannis clearly is like, look, I'm not going to sacrifice my daughter.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
because she has not been playing a huge role recently. She had played a much bigger role in the previous season and everything.
And I think that has to do with Davos. I think he is definitely keeping her a little at bay and keeping on Stannis like to keep his head straight a little bit on it. And then we had, obviously, over at Castle Black, we had Sam and Gilly after Sam was beaten up.
Well, that was last week he was beaten up.
Yeah, but this week he was healing his wounds a little bit and talking with, what was the young guy's name? The kids who his whole family was killed.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know his name.
He's like the steward to Jon Snow now.
Yeah.
He's what the position that Jon Snow was in previously to the former Lord Commander.
Yeah, so he's definitely, you know, he's talking to Sam about, like, you know, why is he going to help the wildlings and bring him here after all this? And is it just me, by the way? I have to put this a really good point here. If I was Gilly, I would not be leaving baby Sam alone in Castle Black. I don't think they're known for their daycare service.
Definitely not.
This is true.
Like, when she's like, oh, I got to go find baby Sam. I say, you're leaving him alone in this place?
He's probably just asleep in a crib somewhere.
Like, with the same kind of people that just, like, beat and tried to rape her. Like,
yeah.
Doesn't seem like the best options.
But they're probably also not baby killers.
Yeah, well, they're all thieves and, like, yeah, murderers and rapists, so...
Yeah, they're definitely not professional babysitters.
Yeah.
Would not rate well on Yelp.
speaking of not a good babysitter, Cersei. she's obviously in the dungeons of the Sparrows, and she's being advised to plead for mercy and confess to the High Sparrow, and they're having her tried for incest, corruption, and the murder of King Robert.
Was anyone else just really pleased watching her slurp the water off the ground?
like a dog.
Yeah, it's like, finally, you get what you deserve.
Yeah,
you
know,
she's
really
always acting so high and mighty, and so to see her knock down a few pegs is very refreshing.
Just like her on the ground, like drinking the water and like just almost like crying as she was doing it. Like, I don't know if that makes, but she's so evil. Like, it's just like, yes, yes.
What I thought was strange is they just said that Tommen, you know, he's been in his, hasn't come out of his room, doesn't necessarily eat his food. Like, I thought this would, you know, kind of spur some sort of reaction from him, but it looks like he's just kind of wallowing in guilt and despair as opposed to, you know, charging in with all the Kingsguard.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like he's doing anything at all. And then obviously her uncle has come back and is taking charge of everything.
Yeah.
But will not go see her and will not take a part of this. It seems like he does not approve of her whatsoever.
No, because he knew the game she was playing when she wanted to promote him to Master of War, and just being like, well, if the king wants me, he can come fetch me himself.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
He knows that she was pulling all the strings and trying to keep power for herself.
So now he's pulling the strings, which is probably for the better overall in Westeros for everybody.
Yeah, because she very much only cares for herself.
And then we get to Jon Snow in Hardhome.
Oh, with Tormund. I love Tormund.
Yes, Tormund. When Tormund comes up on shore and he's the Lord of Bones talks to him.
Well, I guess the Lord of the Bones is like plays a major part in the books, and this, they're like, nope, he's like, dead.
Nope, fuck you, Lord of Bones. Yeah. Anyone else have any more questions?
All right, let's talk. Yeah, that was a great scene.
That was so awesome. Smash, smash, smash.
Now we can talk.
Yes. So obviously Jon and Torbert convince some of the wildlings, not all of them, to come with.
Yeah, probably about like half of the clans.
I think he said about 5,000.
I think that was
how they were on the boats.
The
or
people
like
eaters.
That.
What are they? What clan is that?
I can't remember.
The cannibals. But like they were, I think they were one of the major ones who were like, we're not joining him.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the guy with the axe there. Yeah.
I just love how Tormund, when he's like doing his speech, he's like, he may be prettier than my two daughters, but
everybody's calling him pretty now.
It's so funny. I just love how that's a recurring
thing.
I
feel like King Crow now has to be like a title.
Well, I like to, when one of them is like, my ancestors would be so upset with me if they knew I was making a deal with the crows. And the other one's like, yeah, so would mine, but they're dead, so fuck them.
And it's very true. Like, some of them are thinking, like, we have to get out of here.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we can either stay here and die and join our ancestors, or we can get out of here and live another day.
And even now, it seems like it was a little too late, because after that scene, the White Walkers attacked in the dead, which was so unexpected.
Yes. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I thought they were like, all right, they're going to load them on the ships, and that's going to be it. It's
end of episode.
Yep, nope. The dead attacked, obviously, thousands of them. They had four White Walkers overlooking the whole situation going on. Obviously, some great battle scenes. 1-1, the giant, was awesome in his battle scenes.
I was scared for him for a bit. Yeah. I thought he was going to be like the martyr.
I wonder if he was going to get bitten and turned into a giant zombie.
That too. I was like, oh no, he's going to have a giant zombie.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure how it works. Like, if you get bitten, are you fine? It's only if you die, you get re-risen, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not like an actual zombie.
So obviously, you know, tons of battle. We meet the girl who obviously stood up for Jon Snow, gets murdered by terrifying nightmare children. That's what I'm calling them, because they were terrifying looking.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I did have nightmares of them that night. Yeah.
Sure.
Children zombies are always freaky.
Just the fact the one with no ribs.
Yeah, like no eyes. Yeah, and like
just staring. And it was funny because, like, she saw them, and she pretty much just gave up.
Yeah.
Yeah, she kind of just laid down, right?
Well, I wonder if one of them was, like, one of her children or something like that. Two of her kids were put on the boat,
The two daughters,
I mean, they are small. There was no way she could really fight with what she had. It's not like she had a huge sword. She had, like, these little daggers, like, you know.
I was kind of sad, too. I liked her.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Here's this awesome girl. The first time you meet her, now she's dead.
Yeah. Okay. Very short-lived character.
I was like, look, she might replace Ygritte for me. Like Ygritte was a badass, and, like, she said what she meant, and, like, yeah.
Nope.
If you say what you mean and have a strong will, you will not survive in a Game of Thrones world.
Jon Snow has survived so far.
That is true. He has. But he's also been at the wall. So, he hasn't been really
anywhere. And Tyrion has survived. Tyrion, yeah. Barely. But Barely. Well, the thing I really liked is Jon Snow went up against the White Walker, the main White Walker we've seen kind of throughout the seasons.
Yeah.
And actually was able to kill him with, I can't remember the name of the sword he has.
Longclaw.
Well, yeah, Longclaw, which he was given to by the Lord Commander.
Yep.
And Valyrian so apparently Valyrian Steel has either some dragon blood or dragon power in it, which enables it to kill White Walkers. So that was a great scene with kind of the one that was standing up on the ridge walking, and it was just kind of like, raises an eyebrow. The Walker
King. The Walker King was a little interested seeing that it was supposed to be just a one-sided fight.
Yeah, and then like, here's this little squishy human standing up and killing one of his lieutenants. Like, oh, huh.
It was just kind of like, oh, fuck.
I love the look on the lieutenant's face when he stops this the weapon and it comes onto Longclaw and he just gives this big wide-eyed look.
Well, that was unexpected.
Does not compute.
And then actually, obviously, they're like, oh, yeah, we did it. And then all of a sudden, all these the dead undead rise. Come oh, over the mountain as an avalanche.
Yeah. That was terrifying.
And they just fall, and then they hit the ground for a moment. They're like, okay. And then they start to rise. They're like, oh, yeah, just run.
You see that one, and its head jerks up, and you're just like, well, that's it.
Yeah, overall, awesome episode. And obviously, you know, they're getting on the boats. They're getting away. And the Walker King, just sits there, raises his arms, and raises thousands of men that died on their side to join his army. And it's Jon Snow's just watching going, really?
Well, wow. And that was the whole reason why Jon Snow wanted them to come south. And so if anyone didn't believe him before who's getting on the boats, he has a lot of people who are believing in him and are going to be willing to fight because now they know what they're up against.
But will they let him across the wall is the big thing.
Yeah,
it
was the teaser. And I think that's going to where that conversation with his steward is going to come into play of, you know, why would he do this? Because that has to lead to something, the one that Sam had with him.
Yeah. I will say one thing. I know I talked to Joey about this. When they got on those boats, those guys were not rowing to the Sasori, how bad that situation was.
I know my friends and I were shouting at our TV screen. They're like, why the fuck are you not rowing? Why did you stop rowing?
I liked that a lot, is that they're just slowly drifting away and just kind of all watching on in horror as they see the dead rise.
But if this situation was going, I'd be like, move the hell over, give me the oars, I'm rowing.
Well, they're not being pursued, and it doesn't seem like they can swim very well.
Well, at this point, they didn't know that. Yeah. Just row, man, row. So overall, awesome episode. I can't wait for next week. I'm sad there's only two episodes left.
Yeah.
It's a little disappointing. So I think that's going to be it for this week, guys. You know, if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, you can email us at nerdspastics@gmail.com. Don't forget to like us on Nerdspastics on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Joey, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yes. And as always, guys, stay nerdy.
See you next week.
I don't want to go.